My name is Pastor Gideon Nash from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich. And today I'm so privileged that I have this opportunity to share the Word of God with you again. Each day when I look at the Word of God and when I open the Bible, I'm thinking, oh my God, where have I been all these years? And I'm thinking God is unfolding himself. We call it self-revelation. God is always revealing something new. So it is very important that we actually make an effort to want to know this God, because he is the God of yesterday, he's the God of today, he will be the God forever, and he wants to unfold new things to you. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to talk on the topic, memorial stones. I'm sure you'll be wondering what it is. Memorial stones. What is it? Memorial stones are something that helps us to remember significant events in our lives and history. Memorial stones are something that help us to remember significant events in our lives and history. Today, my objective is that we will remember some significant events that God does in our lives, and how that would change our perspective in our communion with him. To remember significant events that God does in our lives, and how that will change our perspectives in our communion with him. And to do that, I would like to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Our wife factor will be going to their lessons. So God bless you and have a great time. That is our 10 to 14, 16-year-olds. Now, if you are 7, then you are staying in here, please. So I'm reading from Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Amen. I mean, I don't know how many of you have read this passage in your life, or how many of you have even come across it, if you did read it at all. Today I want to talk about memorial stones. We see in this picture the people of Israel 40 years prior to this very moment that Joshua and God is talking about. They had crossed the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted and they crossed it on dry land. And the people of Israel were told by God to remember this. And they remembered. By the time, 40 years on, almost all the adults and the teenagers who walked through the Red Sea that parted had died. And there was no one to remind them. So what happened was that when they got to the Jordan, it was in flood times. And the tide was high. But we had no record that the Israelites at the time knew even how to sail, because they were slaves prior to that, working the farms and building the pyramids and all those things. So they had no skill to do that. We didn't even know if they could swim at all. But then they had to cross this. And God told Joshua to ask the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant and enter, take steps and enter the flooded river, and look for stones they should fill with their feet if they could find some stones. And wherever they find a stone, they should stand on it. And they did that. And as they stood on stones and carried the ark, the river suddenly parted, started pushing back. That's an incredible sight. Just started pushing back, just like that. And it backed away all the way to Adam, and backed away like literally a 3-mile span of water had backed out. And the people were able to walk on the dry land. They saw the priests standing on stones. So after everybody had crossed, God said, you know what? I want you to take stones from that river Jordan where the feet of the priests stood and take them upon your shoulders as a memoriam for them. Why is God saying this to them? It's important. You see, the people of Israel had seen a lot of miracles since their salvation and deliverance from Egypt. Now there's a new generation of young people who didn't see the miracles of God parting the Red Sea for their fathers to walk through 40 years earlier. This young and next generation needed their own miracles. Hallelujah. So look at somebody and say, I need my own miracle. If you are watching me online, Zion, get up and be active. If you are watching online, I want you to say that I need my own miracle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You see, they need their own miracles this time. Why? To help them focus on that mighty God of Israel and not to get distracted. Did you get that? They don't want to get distracted. God wants them to begin to focus on God. Because once you see a miracle in your life, you will focus on that. You will talk about that instead of focusing on the problems. Because if you have an issue and you bring it before God, and God, that's a miracle for you. You know what? You're not going to talk about, oh, I'm so sad, I'm defeated. No, said, you know what? God has done this for me. And that's what you're going to talk about. Isn't that right? That's what God wants us to do. So God wants us to have a kingdom mindset. He wanted his children to have a kingdom mindset. That is why he said, get these stones, God, so that it will remind you. God did that by parting the river Jordan for them to walk through to inherit the promised land, their heritage, their destiny, and their purpose. So today I want you to know that God wants to part for you the river Jordan so that you can also go and inherit your purpose, your heritage, and the promised land in your life. Hallelujah. Have you got a promise from the Lord? Has God said something about you? Has somebody prophesied over you? Have you read something in the Bible that you can claim for yourself? God says he's ready to part the river for you, to have your own miracles. God then told Joshua to ask the people to take these stones home. I like that. Said, take it to your lodgings. The stones that the priest stood on, mark the word priest. Hallelujah. The stone that the priest took on in the river Jordan to their lodgings as what? As memorials. God wanted his people to remember what he had just done for them. Each one of us need a memorial stone to help us remember the great miracles of our God. Hallelujah. Each one of us need a memorial stone. What do we have to remember? Number one, so that we can have a God kind of mind, a kingdom mindset, a kingdom of living in miracles, where the impossibles become possible. because it was impossible for these people to walk through the river. It was impossible for them to cross on dry land. It hasn't been done in that young generation's life. So it is impossible. You are encountering an issue. You are encountering a river that you need to cross in your land. You've gone through something that you haven't had done in your life before. You've gone through a challenge that you've never faced before. Maybe you had faced something similar in the past, but this one is in the now, is different for you. You need to cross that river. And for you to cross that river, you got to have a kingdom mindset. That the kingdom of God that says that we should live in miracles, where the impossible become possible. Because for the people, they had to learn to live in miracles. Because for that sudden burst of supernatural intervention in that river to part it was a sign of a miracle. And that miracle actually made the impossible possible. So God wants us to have a kingdom mindset, God kind of mind. That's one of the reasons why he wanted them to take that stones to remember. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. It's a verse that we always sing or quote it or recite it. Say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. You see, when we have, Jesus showed us a model of prayer. He didn't actually tell us pray, recite those words. But it says pray like this. So that means something like that is good for you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is supernatural. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is supernatural, where God transcends time and space. God penetrates the heavens and comes down to meet our needs. The kingdom of God is supernatural. When God moves in his supernatural wave, his supernatural spirit, he transcends time and space. It means that it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. God can shrink that long time. He can make it shorter for you. He can, something that has you been prayed about for about 3, 4, 5 years, when God intervenes in a supernatural way, he's able to shrink that time into nothingness. And your miracle is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord our God. And God transcends space. That means it doesn't matter where you are. Last week, I knew some people were watching from Jamaica, some were watching from Kenya, and some watching from America. I was communicating with them, and I know that God is not bound by space. And I heard at least 2 people, one from Kenya, one from Jamaica, saying, look, the Holy Spirit came upon me so powerful. And I'm thinking, wow, from Greenwich to Jamaica, right? From Greenwich to Kenya, right? That is a long place. But God is not bound by time. So God transcends space. Hallelujah. Say to somebody, God transcends space. It doesn't matter where you are. So my family, SSBC family, who are watching me online, I want you to know that God transcends space. And that miracle that you are looking for, God is able to reach you where you are. God is able to reach you where you are. And God is able to do something supernatural in your life today. If you believe, if you trust him, if you know how to carry a memorial stone. Hallelujah. The Bible says, remember. Remember, why do we have to remember? Why do we have to remember? Because we want a sudden intervention of supernatural activity in our lives here on this earth. Your kingdom come. As it is in heaven, so shall it be here on this earth. Now, number 2, we remember so we can carry your issues, so that you can carry your issues before God in prayer. God wants you to remember. Take those memorial stones to remember so that you can carry your prayers before God. You can carry your issues before God in prayer. You see, and I want to tell you something about Aaron's effort. You see, Aaron was a high priest during the time of Moses. He accompanied the people of Israel all this time from Egypt. When he said, let my people go, and then they went out, he was all in the desert until he got to Moab where he died. So he didn't go to the promised land. But that is not the issue. The issue that Aaron had an ephod. The ephod is like a badge on your shoulders. Have you seen soldiers sometimes? You see somebody wear some badges. Have you got that? Yeah, exactly. Them, some of them are just puffed up, especially during celebration time. The queen's gallery, gallantry, or whoever they call it. I mean, those soldiers that play the drums and ride the horses, you see that the patches are so big. That's called ephod. And if you've actually got some honors, you see that it's got some badges on it. Have you noticed that? Exactly. So I'm bringing you up to speed in the modern way. Now, let's look at Aaron's ephod 40 years before the time that they crossed the river. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 12, if you read it with me, it said, "And you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial." You see, God told Aaron, the high priest, he was the only one who goes into the Holy of Holies. He goes to the presence of God. He goes to the inner chambers where the anointing, the power, and where he hears God. He alone goes in there. And when he goes there, what he does is that he carries on his two shoulders, the stones of the sons of Israel. Right? Literally, he carries the name of the sons of Israel. And he brings them before God as a memorial so that God will not forget, so that people will know that they are not forgetting. So it is very important we see that God has made us priests unto him, where we have to offer prayers, where we have to offer meditations, where we have to offer intercessions and sacrifices before him on behalf of the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a Baptist, I'm quite happy to say we priesthood of all believers. That means every believer, you don't have to go through, a pastor to pray for you before you go to God. You don't have to go and confess your sins before a priest before you go to God. You have access to the throne room of God because of the blood of Jesus. So whatever position that you hold in your home, God has made us priests so that we can actually offer prayers, offer meditations, right? Mediation. That means standing in between on behalf of other people, and intercession and sacrifices before God on behalf of our people. God wants us to hear the priest's voice. The priest, God wants to hear the voice of the priest. So I'm saying this to you, this church. I'm saying to the church of God, the family on the internet watching me right now, the South Street family, I just want you to know that God wants you to begin to mediate, begin to pray, to begin to intercede, begin to offer sacrifices on behalf of your people. God wants to hear your voice in the inner chamber, because I could imagine Aaron going in there and not being dumped. When he goes in there, he begins to pray to the God for the people of Israel. So you have the authority, you have the right, you have the privilege because of Jesus Christ to go into the inner chambers, begin to pray for your people. Hallelujah. But as you pray, you are carrying the names of your people as memorial stones on your shoulders. Are you getting that? You're carrying the names of your children. You're carrying the names of your wives, your husbands, your siblings, your family, your friends. Even those who make life difficult for you, you're carrying their names into the Holy of Holies to make intercession for them. God wants to hear your voice on their behalf. For that reason, he wants us to carry them as ephods on our shoulders into that secret place where we call there. So imagine you are thinking, "Oh God, I have to build a temple, or I have to build a tabernacle, I have to build an altar in my home." Yes, not a physical altar, but find that place called there. In this church, we call it their place. And in this church, I encourage you, sons and daughters of God, in South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, wherever you are, I want to encourage you, South Street family, as you are watching me online, my online family, I want you to know, wherever you are in this world, that God wants you to spend time, find a particular place that you call it there, where you go and meet with your God. Have you got a place that each morning you get up and you go and pray for about an hour? Have you got that place? Don't split your time into, let me do 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the afternoon, 20 minutes in the evening. Great for a start. But begin to spend quality time with your God. Find that place. It may change. If for any reason you miss it, find another place. Because God is interested in meeting you in that place. If you've got a boyfriend, girlfriend, or wife, or something, you always have a place that you meet them, don't you? Hello? If you're going for a meal, you arrange it to your family or your friends for a place. You just don't say, "I'm going for a meal today." Where are we going for a meal? I don't know. You look so silly, isn't it? You got to find that place so that they can come and find you in that place. It's so exciting, isn't it? So God wants you to find that place, be there, and by the time you get there, God himself is there. That's why in Matthew 6, it tells us that, when you pray, shut your door and talk to your Father in the secret. And one who hears you in secret will reward you in secret. Hallelujah. A place that is just you and your God, that you are not interfering. It's not a husband and family prayer time. No. It's not a family, a husband or a dad and family prayer time. No. It's you have your own prayer time where you carry your family on your shoulders as efforts in that secret place. Hallelujah. Number three, why should we remember? We remember to carry the precious yet delicate people before God, mentioning them by name because they are engraved on our shoulders. Is your family precious to you? Are some of them delicate? Are some of them in a situation of breaking down? Are some of them so good and sure? Carry them on your shoulders, mentioning their name before your God, because they are already engraved on your shoulders. The ephod you carry on your shoulders is made up of onyx stones. I'm describing what is in there in case you wanted to know. Onyx stone, I mean precious stone, enclosed in settings of gold. They were engraved as signet, are engraved with the names of the sons of Israel. You can find this in Exodus chapter 39, verse 6. Right. So the people you carry are precious to you, and they are even more precious to a living God. They are even more precious to our Lord, our God, so we praise his holy name. Hallelujah. You are precious. In case you don't know, some of you carried your children in your belly for 9 months. I've never done that before, and you bear them out. Now here, it's a very challenging time, sometimes exciting when you have the babies, but when you carry them sometimes too, it's so exciting. And I just want you to understand that they are precious to you. Because they are precious, when you see them in a delicate situation, when you see them they are doing well, when you see them they are struggling, when you see them they are sick, you have to carry them because they are made special of God. They are because God has engraved them upon your shoulders so that you carry them before your God. Hallelujah. Are you carrying your people? Hallelujah. How do we remember? How do we remember? See, I'm using 1, 2, 3 numbering just to make it easy for you to make your notes. How do we remember? We remember by meditating on the truth of God, whether we've heard it or we've read it, because truth is eternal. We remember because we meditate on truth. Meditate means you reflect. This time you are not praying. You are thinking deeply about what you've heard. I'm preaching to you right now. Are you thinking deeply about it? I'm quoting scripture to you now. Are you thinking deeply about it? Are you meditating about it? Because that is the truth. The Bible says, your word is truth. Sanctify them with the truth, for your word is truth. And truth is eternal. See, truth is different from fact and science. You see, facts and science are good but temporal because they change. Fact and science are affected by time and space. You see, once upon a time, we had mobile phones when it still first came. I don't know if any of you remember. It was, some countries they call it yam. That's how big it is. You hold it, you can't even put it in your briefcase. And it's got a very big and long antenna with it. My goodness. But if you have one, you are the man on the block. You look so cool. And you see this, the city, I see these young ladies in there, scared and trusted, holding this and their suitcase up and their briefcase on the left. I'm thinking, wow, you look so cool. I'm sure today if I see one, I feel like I will run. Right. So you can see that looking at science, science has changed. That these days we have very simple thing that if you are carrying a phone, nobody even will know that you have a phone. Isn't that right? So science do change. Facts also do change. What was once fact for us, meaning it was good in its time, today it can be something different. Isn't that right? Yeah. Absolutely. So those things change. Those two things are temporal, so we cannot put our faith and our hope in that, but we have to meditate upon the truth of God. Now, that is the way we remember. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2 and 3. It said, O God, open the gate that a righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So as you are meditating upon the truth, God is going to open a gate for you. He's going to open a gate for you so that you will enter. God's opened some doors for you, opportunities for you, because you are meditating on the Word of God. You are putting your trust and your faith in the Word of God. You will keep him in perfect peace, meaning God will bring some calmness to you in the midst of the situation. He'll bring some quietness to you. He'll bring some stillness to you, whose mind is stayed on him, meaning whose mind is fixed on him. If you fix your mind on the truth, if you fix your mind on God, that's how we remember. If you fasten your mind, if you attach like a glue your mind on the Word of God, if you stick or join your mind and establish on the Word of God, then he will keep you in perfect peace. Instead of focusing on the problems and sometimes doubting God, the mind is stayed on his promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do we remember? Number two, we remember with our testimonies. We remember with our testimony. In our church here in Greenwich, we love giving testimonies because in the midweek services, that's House of Peace, we actually pray for people's situation and people receive answers and they come and report and give glory to our God. They praise the name of our God and we announce it to you. We will know why we do that. You see, we have to remember with our testimony. Let's look at Joshua chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Joshua chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. You see, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in the time to come. That's what we read earlier on, right? In the time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? What does it mean to you? Not what does it mean. What does it mean to you? That means that you are carrying a stone and your children are asking, what does this memorial stone mean to you? You've got something in your hand that your children are asking, what does it mean to you? That, move on please for me. Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So somehow along the line, what they are saying is that I had an experience. So if you ask me, what does it mean to me? This is what it means to me. This is my testimony. We testify of what God has done for us. So he will do it again and again to eternity for you. Hallelujah. So as you are testifying, you are saying, God, I believe what you have done. You are going to do it again and again. And my family watching me online, I want you to know that whatever God has done in your life, that miracle, that supernatural activity that he has done, that intervention that he has actually, done in your life, he is going to do it for you again and again. Thank you very much, Zion. You're doing a great job. Hallelujah. We testify of what God is going to do, and he will do that to eternity. You see, the memorial stones that we carry builds faith. Memorial stones that we carry builds faith. You see, meditate on God's word, or meditate on God's word. I can't even read my own writing. Meditate on God's word and promises, or meditating on God's word and promises helps us to focus on God instead of the enemy's lie, because God cannot lie. He will keep his word. It is his nature to keep his word. God cannot lie. We know that. But the enemy will tell, oh no, look at the problem. You are a Christian. You are born again. You came to our Pentecost Sunday. Nothing has happened to you. That is the enemy's lie. God cannot lie. If it's done for somebody, he will do it for you too. You are a child of God. Let's take two quick examples. One, I would like to take Gideon, right? Gideon, my namesake, right? I don't know how my parents named me Gideon. Looks like a weird name, but it's a good one, right? Gideon. Let's look at his examples from Judges chapter 6, verse 12 to 14. Judges chapter 6, verse 12 to 14. It said, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, meaning Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all these things happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You see, at that time, for a period of 8 years, the people of Israel were under the Kush. They were being really, their lives were being messed about. Even when they grow their crops, before they harvest, somebody come and take it. It's just like you've worked so much and the end of the month has come or the end of the week has come and you've got to give you your wages. And then your employer said, I ain't going to give it to you. That's interesting, isn't it? I am not going to give you your wage. Or at the end of the day, computer said, I am confused. I'm not going to pay your money. That is very difficult, isn't it? And that's the situation of the people of Israel. That at the time that they have to harvest their crop, the Midianites will come. It's a group of people from the neighboring country. They will come and encamp with their horses, their donkeys, their mules, everything, and their camels, and they eat out these people, everything. They leave them nothing. And that went on and on and on for 8 years. Imagine that. They were probably slimming down on a fast or something. And then Gideon got something and said, this time I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to go into my wine press. I'm not even going to go into, the corn mill to do it, but I'm going to go into my wine press, disguise myself, and then just make sure that I beat it and I eat it myself. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, you mighty man of God. But then Gideon, probably like me, would have said the same thing. Why are you saying I'm a mighty man of God? Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Right? They were hearing the miracles of God time and time again. But we know in the book of Judges, somehow along the line, they missed that opportunity to connect with God, mightily. So he said, go in the might of yours, and you shall save Israel. You shall save Israel from the Midianite. Have I not sent you? So the angel insisted, said, look, let me take your mind off your problems. But I know there's some strength in you. I know there's some valor in you. I know there's some determination in you. I know there's some obedience in you. I know there's yet some, vision in you. So you get up and go, for I am going to anoint you to save your people. Have I not sent you? Has God not sent you? So as at the moment you feel your back is to the wall and you don't know what to do and you don't know what to do and you are falling apart, hear what the word of God is saying, that have I not sent you? Hallelujah. Have I not sent you? I am going to make a way for you. That's what God is saying. These are the songs that we've been singing, aren't we? I'm going to make a way for you. And Gideon went to do just that and defeated the Midianites. Gideon entered into God's mind. God works from the end of the beginning and draws us into seeing the end so that we will begin our journey in faith. In case you are wondering, what is this? I was teaching school of mentors yesterday, and I was sharing this revelation with them. That you see, when God has said something, he's already seen the end of it. And therefore, he wants you to enter his mind. Because he has seen the end of it, he's ready to get you to begin your journey to come and see the end. So you got to begin to have that kind of mind that God will make a way for you. Begin to see yourself coming out of that issue. Begin to see yourself overcoming it. Begin to see yourself getting well. Begin to see yourself in that victorious situation. And once you begin to see, God will drag you alongside with you. And each step of the way, he will show you what to do. And you'll be fine. You see, in this country, we are so privileged that we have the National Health Service. That you reach a certain age, whether you like it or not, they begin to write you. They say, come for medical MOT. They'll do anything, anything and everything for you. They will even examine your intestines. They will examine everything. And recently, I've gone through so many tests upon tests upon tests. They say, oh, you're on borderline with this. I think there's a suspected this, suspected that, suspected that. Each time they bring that, I look at it and I say, you know what, God? I want to see your mind. I want to see the end of this. And the end of this is that you heal everyone who is sick. You heal every manner of sickness, every disease. So I want to see that. So I tell myself, this is not going to happen. This, I'm not taking it. I don't argue with the doctors. They know what they're doing. So I tell them, do it again. They do it again. And every letter that comes after it said, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm thinking, wow. Amen. Hallelujah. And if they were standing in front of us, if I had that courage, I would have said, I told you there's nothing wrong with me. But you don't want to upset your doctor, right? You have to respect them. They study for it. So through all these things, every letter that I've got, about half a dozen already, and many more. I've taken so many blood tests, so many scans, so many examinations, and everything eventually come out negative. And I'm thinking, isn't it, God, amazing? Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, if you have that version with you. Right. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real facts what is not revealed to the senses. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Timmy. You are doing a great job too. This is amazing that we have the title deed. You, what you are praying for, what you are bringing before God, you see in your hand the confirmation of it. You begin to see in the eyes of your mind through the prism of the supernatural power of God. You see, as it's divinely guaranteed. That means supernaturally guaranteed. You see the evidence, which is not seen with naked eyes. You see it, and at the end of the day, you comprehend as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. That is faith. Hallelujah. Let's look at another example very quickly. Nehemiah. So I'm talking about memorial stones build our faith. So you see that Gideon's faith was built powerfully here. And that is why we look at faith here. So here we are looking at Nehemiah, right? I'm not going to read the whole story. I have to paraphrase because of time. It's in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14 to 18. Write it down, right? I want you to write it down, but I'll read the verse 19 subsequently. So it said, Nehemiah was a governor of Judah for 12 years during the reign of King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah did not want to put any burden on the people while they were doing the work of the Lord for him and building the house of God, building the walls. Neither did he eat of the governor's provision, but rather chose to depend on God as his source. Even with a huge burden of providing for his people and the community upon his shoulders, he decided to say, God, you are my source. And this is how he prayed. Nehemiah 5:19. He says, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. God, remember me for good. Sometimes when you have your back to the wall and you don't seem to have a breakthrough, sometimes you are thinking, oh God, what am I going to feed my children with? Oh God, what am I going to clothe myself with? Oh God, what am I going to eat? What am I going to... But how am I going to pay my rent? God, how am I going to pay that school fees? God, how am I going to do this and that? Tell God, remember me for good, my God, according to all that I have done for his people. What have you done for the people of God? What have you done for people of God so that God can remember you for the good thing that you have done? Are you serving in the house of God? Are you feeding the hungry? Are you clothing the naked? Are you visiting those who are in trouble and in prison? Are you interceding to see people well? Do you have so much compassion that you want to see people do well? Are you doing this for the house of God? Are you doing it for the people of God? What you do is what God will remember you for good for. Amen? Amen. So you have done nothing. Then how can you pray like Nehemiah to say, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for these people? Nehemiah emptied his pocket just to feed the people who were working. He emptied. He did not depend upon man. God was his source. Hallelujah. God sometimes wants us to remind him of what we have done. We remind him of our past faithfulness. We have to, in our prayers, remember God of the past faithfulness that you have done. How faithful you have been in the house of God. How faithful you have served him. Remember him. That means put him to remembrance. That's another way it puts in Isaiah. Concerning the work of my hands, remember me. Remind me. Put me into remembrance. Certainly God remembered Nehemiah for good. Will God remember you for good today? Do you want God to remember you for good today? Will you ask, remember God to remember you for good today? Let me pick up the last bit of my message today. And how are we doing with time? Okay. So, are we going to do this? You see, God is interested in opening up a book of remembrance for you. If you've served him faithfully, if you've obeyed him, and if you've done good to his people, God is ready to open up a book of remembrance for you. Your obedience will cause God to open a book of remembrance for you. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi 3, 16. It said, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditate on his name. A book of remembrance records the good that we have done, right? That book of remembrance records the good that we have done. And that is exactly what God does. That is, when somebody reads it, then that person may run with it. It's like a testimony. What God has done for you, if you share it with somebody, if you let people know, if you pray to God and say, God, remember me for good, and God, remember you for good, and do something for you, share that testimony. Tell somebody about the goodness of God. And that is what God was alluding to in the story of his people who passed through those rivers. Let them have their own miracles so that they can share as a memorial. And when you share it, somebody will know. Somebody will hear it. And when they hear it, they will run with that. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, this is what he says. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Hallelujah. Write what God has done for you on a tablet. Put it down in your notes and share it. So that when somebody, and make it plain, right? That is what it means, share it. So that anyone who read it will run with it. That means the person who will take it and say, whoa, God has done this for you, he's going to do it for me. If God has done this for them, he's going to do it for me. So sometimes you sit down and you have to go through your family history. Sometimes somebody did serve God faithfully, did something good. And when you read it and you see it, you also pray, God, remember me for good. Remember me for good. Remember 2 weeks ago when I was talking about the story of Samuel? That Samuel's children were bad guys, and therefore the people rejected them and asked for a king. But Samuel's grandson, Heman, was remembered by David for good. He was made one of the chief musicians, directors of music, pastors of music in the church, and he was the king's seer. How did he change? God remembered Samuel for good. Hallelujah. So some of you, your parents must be praying for you. So parents, keep praying for your children. Husband, keep praying for your wives. Wives, keep praying for your husbands so that God will remember them for good. You see, because you don't know what they will come up to. And when they reach that stage, because of your prayers, because you carry them as effort into the Holy of Holies, because you present them before God, because God hears your voice, God will remember them for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want God to remember you for good today? Hallelujah. So record, review, and that will lead to obedience. Let me tell you about two people in this category. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Just write it down. I'm not going to read it. Say, Cornelius' prayers, his alms, his good things or good deeds that he did for people in the house of the Lord, God remembered it. God does not remember our past mistakes. Hear that again. God remember our good things. If you're a child of God, God does not remember your past mistakes as long as you come to him and say, God, I'm sorry. Are you with me? I'm telling you the truth because I can back it up with scripture, and I will. See, God does not remember our past mistakes, but he remembers the faith we show in him. As a child of God, I make a lot of mistakes, just like you all. David made so many mistakes, didn't he? Solomon made mistakes. Moses made mistakes. But you know what? God does not remember our past mistakes if you know how to live in a life of confession before God. That's why he says in 1 John 1:9 that we should confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will not remember your past mistakes. Let me take Sarah as an example. Sarah, the story of Sarah is in Genesis chapter 18, but verse 10 and 15, I'll also tell you the story. We're not going to read it, but I just want you to know. Genesis 18, 10 to 15. You see, an angel appeared to Abraham, Sarah's husband. Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65, and said, you are going to have a son. And whilst the angel was talking, Sarah was hiding behind the door, snooping like some women do. And she was listening into all the conversation, wondering, now what is she talking about? And then she heard it, and when she heard it, she said, nah, I mean, I've passed the stage, I'm 65. The guy is 75. How is he going to do anything for me to have a son? So God said, call your wife here. And when the wife came in, the angel said, why did you laugh? He said, I didn't laugh. You see, the laughter that Sarah laughed was a laughter of unbelief, was a laughter of doubt, was the laughter of skepticism and scorn. And how often does God tell us some things and we are so unbelieving? Unbelief is a wicked spirit. We are learning this at the School of Mentors yesterday. It's a wicked spirit. It's a spirit of greed. It holds you back from growing. It holds you back from having what God wants you to have. It holds you back from reaching your destiny. It holds you back from opening your heart to receive the power of God. It holds you back from moving forward. You're always there. Go back 10 years, 20 years, and where you are, you're still the same. Why? Because unbelief is holding you back. It's a wicked spirit. It doesn't want you to progress. Hallelujah. A lot of people are living in unbelief, doubt, skepticism, and everything. But you know what? For what Sarah did, even the son was called Isaac to remind her. But God doesn't remember. Hallelujah. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, the Bible says, God judged her faithful, meaning reliable, true to his word. You see, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age. She's past it. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Look at her. Somebody who was full of unbelief. Now this time she judged that what God has said is true, is faithful. And therefore on that basis, God said that this is faith. Hallelujah. God forgot all about that. And Sarah was judged faithful. So to end today's preach, I want to tell you a story from the book of Judges. I'll be so, so brief with that. You can read it from chapter 3, verse 12 to 30. It's a story about the third judge in Israel. His name is Ehud, E-H-U-D. It's a story that some of you must have read or heard me preach about it or don't even know that it exists. The first was Othniel. The Spirit of God came upon him. Then there's Shamgar. We don't know much about him. Then there's Ehud. The Bible says that the people of Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And for a period of 18 years, they were oppressed by the Moabites. The king's name was Eglon. 18 years. Because of the sin of the people of God, they were oppressed. And then they remembered to cry out to God. You see why I said God doesn't remember our past mistakes? They cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up a deliverer, a left-handed man called Ehud. That's verse 15. They brought tribute to Eglon. You see, because they were oppressed, every now and then the king would say, come on, Israelites, you bring tribute. Bring money to me. They were extorting money from them. That was a very, very difficult thing for them to have. And they had to do it because if they don't do it, they would come and beat them up. So they did. First the Midianite, now this time, I mean, Moabite, then the Midianite came after. So they were going through this hardship for 18 years. Imagine yourself, right? Anytime that you get your salary, your family back home, right? Exactly. Because I was talking to somebody, I won't tell you who that person, in case the person, some of you know the person, said, look, it's as if those people have some kind of, they sniff money. The moment they see that money come to your bank account, everybody begin to call you auntie. I need X, Y, Z. Auntie, my child need to go to school. Auntie, my child need to go to Cuba for operation. Auntie, they're all asking for something. Right? They sniff the money, but it's not them sniffing it. There's something else sniffing it. But let's move on. So, what was happening? They brought tribute to this person for 18 years. Then Ehud, after presenting the tribute, he was going back to his country. And as he was walking, he got to the very memorial stones that Joshua put there, established by the roadside. And as soon as he got to the memorial stone, something clicked in his mind. He remembered something, that our God did a miracle. And therefore, we need a miracle to get out of this situation. And according to him, he heard the voice of God. And Ehud was a left-handed man. And when you go into the king's palace, because everybody is a bad guy, they try and kind of strip search you. Or maybe they try and search you. They just dab you. Because if you're a right man, your knife will be here, right? So they check all this place. There was nothing. But he was a left-handed man. They didn't know. So his was here. And he had a double-edged sword or dagger. And what prompted him is the stones that he saw on the roadside prompted him to go back. The things that he has been written down, the testimony that has been shared, the miracles that have been written on those stones reminded him of where he's come from. And he went back. I mean, it was a story that sometimes I feel sad, but it has some, significance in there. So he went, cutting things short, he told Eglon, the king, that I have a message from God for you. He repeated it. I said, I have a secret message from God. The man said, oh, secret message? Hey, oh my God, you stay behind. Come to the inner chamber. And he took him to the inner chamber. And Ehud dragged the dagger and kill this man. And upon the man was, has got a lot of weight on him. So the knife went straight into him. He never came back. And the body closed up. And the king died. And Ehud ran back. And when he ran back from the palace, he went, as soon as he got to where the stones were, he had an idea to go and tell his people, now let's blow the horn. I am a judge, I'm a deliverer, a military ruler, administrator, sometimes carry spiritual functions. Join me. And they went and they defeated the Moabites. And the Bible said they lived in peace for 80 years after that. Hallelujah. You see, and the gist of the story is that what memorial stones have you set on the way or the roadside to remind you of God's faithfulness when your back is to the wall? What memorial stone are you carrying home today to remind you of the greatness of your God, his faithfulness, his miracles, So you walk in obedience and see more of God's goodness. What memorial stone have you seen in your life that you want to hold on to? God has done some miracles for some of you. God has supernaturally intervened in your life that you shouldn't be living by now, but you are now living. God has done something for you. You shouldn't have that job, but now you are having it. God has done something for you. You shouldn't have that job, that business, but you are now having it. God has protected you. You should probably have died of COVID, and you have not died, and you are still alive. God has protected you. So what are the miracles? What are the memorial stones that you are going to put by the roadside to remind you? Which ones are you carrying to your inner chamber? Hallelujah. Shall we stand and pray? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for yourself. Pray in any language that you are comfortable with. But I want you to talk to God and renounce any spirit of doubt and belief, any negative words that you have spoken over your life. Some of you speak negative things over your life. I will not do any. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. Oh, look at me. I'm poor. I'm poor. I'm poor. I mean, these are negative things. You see, some people believe that they should actually invite poverty over their lives. I don't believe so. It's not scripture. You got to pray and renounce any unbelief. Renounce any doubt, any skepticism, any scorn that you have. Some of you probably even are scorning the message that I'm preaching today. Renounce it, because it's going to kill you. Renounce those things. Some of you are thinking, oh God, I'm going to die. You are not going to die. I have died and resurrected twice. And therefore, I am not going to die, because my Christ lived. And therefore, you have your own testimony. Hallelujah. Renounce any doubt. I remember a year by this time when I was down, serious COVID. If I had gone to the hospital, they would have put some oxygen on me and I would never come back. But my God told me that nobody would die in this church. Amen. And whilst I was at that point, that my family were even worried that one day when they opened my door, they will find me dead. And I saw my family tiptoeing and coming to my room, just literally sanitizing the place every day. They were scared that they would come and find someone who was dead. I wasn't eating. I wasn't doing anything. The only thing I had strength for was to come and preach to you. And afterwards, I was just knocked out. And when people call me and say, Gideon, how are you doing? My message always is, I am alive forever and ever. I have authority over death. And that is exactly that. I had absolutely no fear for the COVID virus. Never. Absolutely no fear. And I still carry no fear. When many people were melting in the country because they don't believe in their own God or they had no God, I was so confident on my deathbed that God will help me out. So today, I prepare to renounce negative pronouncement over your life. I prepare to renounce unbelief. And if you've prayed that prayer, then ask God to remember you for good. Just like Nehemiah did, say, God, remember me for good. Yeah, it makes a little bit more noise for me, sir. Remember me for good, oh my God. Ask God to remember you for good. You have 30 seconds and I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise the name of our God. Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you. And today I pray. And today I minister your goodness and your grace over your people in this church. Those upstairs. And those who are still living afraid, living at home, don't want to gather in the place of God. Father, I'm praying for them. And wherever you are, whatever is bothering you right now, I'm praying for God to remember you for good. Whatever is oppressing you right now, I'm praying for God to remember you for good. Whatever is literally getting you sick today, I'm praying for God to remember you for good. My family online today, I'm praying for God to remember you for good. Hallelujah, Lord. The issue that you are going through, the challenges that you are going through, the fears that you are going through. I'm praying right now for God to remember you for good. Those who are in here, God, remember them for good. Right now, Father, remember us for good. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, remember us. Father, remember us. Remember each one of us for good. Remember your people for good right now. In Jesus' name, let your grace abound towards us. Let your grace abound towards each one of us. In the name of Jesus, whether in this sanctuary or whether online in their homes, wherever they are watching us, Father, let your grace abound towards them. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I thank you. Father, I bless you. And I thank you that you are God. And today we want to carry our memorial stones with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.